Good morning, how are you? It's good to be here. I haven't been here in the last 2 weeks. I was in Sunshine in Bray. And had a great 2 weeks in Bray, actually. Absolutely fantastic 2 weeks. I was supposed to preach here last week, and I asked Rob to swap with me. I just felt to be out in Bray that God was doing something, and had a great time out there last week. And trust that it's going to be a great time here this morning. You're very welcome to Liberty Church. Turn around and say to someone, you're very welcome this morning. Thank you. Well done. Just want to say a big congratulations to Will and Donna, who just got engaged. Stand up. Stand up. Come on, Will. Do you know what? I love hearing when people are getting engaged, but what I like more is how they got engaged. Do you want to hear the story? Will came down Clondalkin on a white horse. No, sorry. They were in Acapulco. Do you know the Mexican place in Georgia Street? That's our favorite place, mine and Sharon's. So Will and Donna was going loco in Acapulco. And he arranged it all. The flowers were left in that day. And just at dessert, Donna had gone to the bathroom. And he arranged it at dessert time, come out. Got down on his knee. Four Mexicans just playing the guitars beside him. No, that was in my head. And asked at the marriage, and I took it, she said, yeah? Did you, Donna? Amen. And everyone's invited to the full wedding. Oh, amen. Which is next week. Just to re-emphasize just something about the Great Big Giveaway. We're doing the Great Big Giveaway, which is 1,000 hampers we're believing God for. For 1,000 families in our great city. And your donations are kindly received, money, food, whatever you can give. But you might know someone that knows someone. Do you get me? Tell them about the Great Big Giveaway. 1,000 families are going to be helped this Christmas. And next week is the Great Big Wrap. So we're all going to do a flash mob in Grafton Street called the Great Big Wrap. Right? Next week we're going to wrap the boxes. Not in this building, but in the building around the corner. There's going to be 1,000 boxes wrapped. Many hands make light. And so we'll get them all done in one day. And then the following Saturday, we're going to do the great big pack. So we're going to pack all the boxes and wrap them in the cellophane and put the big red bow on them. And I just can't wait to see 1,000 hampers just lined out. I really can't. I've seen 500 last year, and it thrilled my heart to no end because I knew each one of them represented something from the church, these people in their community. And to love them and to say that we care and God sees you, and every penny that you give will go into helping someone else. And it's amazing. God is providing it. Did I tell you I got 1,000 chickens off somebody? Someone gave me 1,000 chickens. Now, they have to be plucked. So just before the great big wrap, we're going to pluck them and make pillows out of them. And sell them as a fundraiser. They're already plucked. We just have to kill them, no. But God is doing what only God can do. And you might think you just have a little to give, but your little added to my little, to someone else's little, makes a whole lot of difference in people's world. So please consider what you and your family can give. It's amazing. I've done the maths. We reckon it costs about, let's even take a conservative figure and say it would cost €70 for a hamper that we're going to give to a family to buy in a shop. 1,000 by 70 is €70,000. I don't know where that money's coming from. But I want to tell you, if I know God, we'll do more than 1,000. If I know God, and I do know God, because he loves the widow and the off. He loves those who haven't got, and he loves those who have a little to give to those who haven't got a lot. And their motto is, we'll always get the greedy. So I'll calm all your fears. The greedy will be amongst us getting a hamper. Because even the greedy gets blessed in God's kingdom. We don't here to judge, we're here to serve. That's what we do as a church. So if anyone says that to you, we're here to serve and not to judge. I bet you when Jesus changed the loaves and fishes into 5,000, that the greedy were there. I could imagine a woman going, put that fish in your pocket for your dad. Grab a bit more of that grub in your pocket for when we get home, because they're there. So they will be there, but we bless and continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, just to say that we're finished talking about radical discipleship, but not living out of radical discipleship. Discipleship, which is our series over the last 10 weeks, is about is about lifestyle, not just a series. It's a lifestyle for a lifetime. And I would encourage you to go over the podcast again. Look at what God was saying to you through that time. Because we're not only disciples, but we're disciple makers. That we're called to disciple others. And I know Rob done an excellent job last week in conveying some of that stuff. Now find someone. All you have to do to disciple someone in Jesus Christ is to be one step ahead of them. That you've walked a little bit of the journey ahead and go, look, I know what it's like to meet that roadblock. This is how God came true for me. It is not rocket science. It's like telling them what you know of Jesus and trying to impart it into their lives. And so please get on to the website if you want to and have a look at that. So we're starting our new series. Our Christmas leading up into the Christmas and Christmas Day. All the dates will be you and times of services and the whole shebang will be, we will have them next week. But I was talking to someone, and I'm positive I came up with this name. Not the second half of the name, but certainly the first half. Anyone ever heard of Advent? You know, you have Advent calendars, and it's what the traditional churches would use this Advent as a way of leading into the new year. It's a way of, like, their liturgical services, meaning their readings and everything is set out for the year, and this would be the start of the Advent. Advent means, in the Latin... I sound very educated. In the Latin, it means the arrival of something. The Advent is something coming from afar to the new. And it's talking about Jesus that, you know, all of the Old Testament, and those who were in the link groups last week would have seen all the prophecies that were told in the Old Testament that came true in the New Testament about Jesus. That it's really incredible, down to the detail of where Jesus would be born and et cetera, et cetera. And all of that was an Advent leading to something. It was leading to the arrival of someone, which is Jesus. And the adventure of God, adventure, the adventure of God, the arrival of the adventure of God in Jesus Christ was on its way. And that's what we're going to look at. And it's funny because all the Old Testament was looking for the arrival of Jesus. And when the arrival of Jesus comes, now the advent, what was to come was the death of Jesus, salvation of mankind. And then after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we're living in advent for what? The second coming of Jesus. We're in between. He's come. And they're waiting on him to come again, because he is going to come again. And many scholars and many prophets believe that it's really, really imminent. It's really upon us. It's really in the immediate. So the next 4 Sundays, we're going to look at the Advent and who was involved in the Christmas story and who was playing the parts of it and why we're living in the Advent of waiting on Jesus to come and Jesus after being here. All of history looked and was waiting for the cross to happen. Even the earth was looking for the cross to happen. And now we're looking as believers for Jesus to come back. And he is. And he won't be born in a manger. And he won't be in some obscure place. The Bible says the eastern sky is going to split open. And Jesus is coming back. And everyone will recognize him. And everyone will know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those who are believers will be caught up to meet him as he's coming back. I'm up for it. You don't look so sure, but I'm up for it. Are you up for it? So, we're going to start off with one of those characters and see what we can learn from their lives. You know, in circles like ours, she doesn't get a whole lot of publicity because living in a country where so much emphasis is being put on this woman in a theological way that's different to ours, that then we don't talk about her a lot. But I want to tell you, there's something about Mary. There's something about Mary that we need to learn. And before we go there, just look at this video. Told you there's something about Mary, didn't I? Absolutely amazing. I'm so moved by looking at that. You know, let the adventure begin. When God spoke all through the Old Testament, it was building up to this event. And this event has set us all on adventure in God. And I want us to read some of the scriptures that we're probably so familiar with. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, it should come up on the screen beside behind me. So let me read it out. It says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she said, who was said to be unable to conceive it is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fall. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. There's something about Mary. There's something about her response to God. Can you imagine the council of heaven? And God looking down through the ages and going, what girl will I pick? Maybe he was looking down and saying, there's Monica, but there's something about Mary. Maybe you're saying, there's some people born in palaces, but there's something about Mary in that little village. Like where other people probably would have picked those who had different background, different DNA, different genetics. And God says, no, there's something about Mary that I want to use her to bring my son to earth. There's something about Mary. The angel appeared to her. And the angel knew there was something about Mary. He tells her what the deal is going to be. You are going to be the one. Do you ever feel sometimes overlooked? I want to tell you, God never overlooks us. He has a plan for us, just like he had a plan for Mary. And he says to Mary, when the angel speaks, she was afraid. And the angel says, do not be afraid. You are highly favored. She was going to have to remember those words all throughout her life. Do not be afraid. It doesn't say that God spoke to Mary in any other place, as far as I know, other than at this place. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The amount of time she would have to hung on to those words. Do not be afraid. You who are highly favored of God. Even at times when she didn't feel highly favored, she had to remember that God spoke to her. And one saying, do not be afraid. And the other saying, you are highly favored of God. She would have to remember these words on her journey, on her adventure. She would have to remember these words when she had to leave to go to Egypt with our boy, because Herod, the leader of the day, was going to kill all of the boys. And an angel appeared again and says to Joseph, take your wife and take your child and leave this place. Mary was going to have to remember, I'm not going to be afraid because God spoke to me. Well, she could have said, what about the highly favored bit? This doesn't look highly favored, traveling 90 miles on a donkey. Even if they had a donkey, pictures tell us they have a donkey. Where's the highly favored bit? This doesn't look highly favored. God never promises a rose garden, by the way. But he does promise he will be with us every step of the way. He does promise, I will never leave you. Mary, if you're going to Egypt, I'm with you. Joseph, get up and go. I will make a way for you. She was going to have to remember these words when telling Joseph about her pregnancy. Hey, Joseph, I'm having a baby. Oh, yeah, Mary, I thought you were a virgin. Do you know, Mary, I could get you thrown out of the village for this. I could nearly get you stoned to death for this. She's going to have to remember, don't be afraid. When she was telling and facing the community and the family, the disgrace that people would have been putting on her, the shame. Oh, yeah, she's supposed to be married to Joseph, but was with someone else. And you wouldn't believe she's saying to someone else is God. Take her away. Get her medicated up. Get her some way away from here. This young girl is after losing the plot altogether. She was going to have to remember when people were pointing at her walking down the street. Mary, do not be afraid. You're highly favored of God. Do not be afraid. Your God is with you. God is on your side. She's going to have to remember when she was watching her son grow up. When she lost him for a couple of days. Don't be afraid. Highly favored one. She was going to have to remember when she'd see her son preach. Highly favored. When she'd seen the miracles and the signs and the wonders and everybody was loving Jesus. Highly favored. But do not be afraid. Because what was to come was Jesus was going to lose his popularity. And people are now going to talk of killing him and destroying him. Mary, looking at this, do not be afraid, Mary. When everything seems to be going wrong, don't be afraid. Yeah, fear will come. And you think Mary wasn't one who was going to be fearful? Of course she was, but she had a word from God. Do not be afraid. You will, and you are, and you will walk in the highly favored position of God. Can you imagine her when she was looking at her son being nailed to a cross for your sins and my sins? The words of God being whispered, don't be afraid, Mary. You who are highly favored, don't be afraid. Can you imagine when they laid him in the tomb? We've all been at funerals when moms are putting kids in a grave or a loved one in a grave that's younger than them. And the look on the mother's face, because every man believes that they should go away before their kids. Can you imagine Mary looking? Where's this all gone wrong? And her remembering, don't be afraid. There's times when we need to remember not to be afraid. When the neighbors are saying something, Mary wasn't afraid, or at least she hung on to him who said the words of do not be afraid. Joseph said there's something about Mary. He was probably at the beginning going, something about Mary. That's not quite right now. Neighbors were probably saying there's something about Mary. Angels were saying there's something about Mary. Heaven was saying there's something about Mary. Neighbors were probably saying it in a scandalous way, but heaven was saying it in a breathtaking way. There's something about her faith. There's something about her determination. There's something about her to be able to withstand the storms that's coming against her in our community, in our relationships, and in people that don't understand her. There's something about Mary. Imagine angels looking at each other. They're looking, she's gone to Egypt. She went to get the Jesus signed up in the consensus, 70 miles there and then 90 miles to Egypt or something like this. There's something about that woman. There's something about her that we should know. The angel says, this is what you're going to do. There's something about Mary, you know why? Because she said yes to God. May it be so in my life as you said it. Now, I will give birth to the Son of God. That I say yes, knowing that there's going to be controversy, knowing that there was going to be something said about me. What am I going to tell Joseph? I don't know, but I'm saying yes to God. The biggest and greatest thing we can say in our lives today is yes to God. God has a plan for your life. We know it, we speak it, but it's going to take your yes to match his yes to make that yes a real yes. That's a bit of philosophy. See, we can hear the plans of God. We can hear, oh, God has a plan and God has a plan. And you're like, I don't really understand what God's plan for my life. We first have to say yes. See, Mary didn't know the unfolding of it. Because she probably would have said no. Well, a donkey 70 miles. So we wouldn't even get on a bus for 70 miles, would we? She probably wouldn't have said yes. If she knew what it was going to take to look at her son on a cross. But she said yes. That's what faith is. I don't see the future. I don't know what's next. But I know who's asking me to take that next step. I know who's trustworthy. I know who is faithful. See, you'll never trust his promise unless you know his character or the character of the one who gives the promise. And when we know his character is faithful and trustworthy, then he always fulfills his word. God is committed to fulfilling his own word. And when he speaks the plan of God over our lives, he's committed to you. He's committed to his word to see that come to pass. But we must say yes. Knowing he's never promised us a rose garden. Because if we know that, then when the garden's not so rosy, no, sure, you never promised me that anyway. But this is what you did promise me. I'm favored and highly favored at that. We have to say yes to God's plans. What has God asked you to do? Say yes, you can trust him. What has he asked you to give up? Say yes, he'll help you. What has he asked you to step into? He'll give you the strength. Who has he called you to reach? He will connect you. What dreams has he put in your heart? He will bring them to pass. What are the godly ambitions he's placed inside of you? He will see you fulfill them. Let us be a people who say yes. Here was a young girl being invited in to the greatest event that was ever going to happen in history. All of history looks towards that event, and all of future looks back to that event. And God was inviting this little girl, Mary, into that plan, and into that dream, and into that story, and into that narrative, and into that adventure. And God still today reaches out to you and me and invites us into his story. Because the story doesn't end. It's a continuous, never-ending story. Your story, my story, our story, their story, it continues and continues and continues. And God is still inviting you and me. He's still calling people. He's still working out his purposes and plans today. And he's still looking for the people that will say, sign me up. He's still looking for the people that says, I don't know what's the next step, but sign me up, Lord, because I know who has given this. The Bible says, let your yes be yes. Let your yes be yes to God. Amen? Elizabeth, our cousin, she knew there was something about Mary. I love the story of these the first encounter with the two of them being impregnated. The one who was a virgin having a baby and the one who was too old to have a baby, both being invited in to the story of God. Listen to what it says in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb, who was John the Baptist, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come into my home? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise in her. Amazingly, as soon as she entered in, that Elizabeth recognized the highly favor of God that was upon her. This was her cousin. She knew Mary. But as soon as she came in, the baby leapt in her. John the Baptist jumped up and done a little twirl. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the highly favored one, the one who was carrying the yes in her heart to God, now was affecting other people all around her. It's amazing. Jesus and John the Baptist, both of them were in the water, in the womb. And they met each other. And it caused John to jump up and down. And the next time we see John and Jesus in water, when Jesus was being baptized. And John is in the water and Jesus walks along and John leaps. And he goes, there's the Son of God. He leaps up. There he is, the one who will take away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God. John was leaping up and down. Why? Because God was in his midst. He knew what it was like to be in the water, but not seeing Jesus. He knew what it was like to be in the water and seeing Jesus, the Lamb of God, proclaiming to the whole world, he takes away the sins of the world. It's him. He knew there was something about Mary. Elizabeth knew there was something about Mary. And what did Mary do? When all this happened, what did Mary do? She sang a song. As you do. Mary and Elizabeth, the baby jumps up and down in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Who knows what that looked like? Do you know what I mean? It was like, was she drunk in the Spirit? Was she laughing in the Spirit? Did she get slain in the Spirit? Was she speaking in tongues? Probably not. Was she prophesying? She was prophesying in a sense because she certainly had a word of knowledge because she started talking about what was going on in Mary's life. And there was an expression of being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does Mary do? Well, it tells us that Mary breaks out in what they call Mary's song. It's like a play, isn't it? That Mary breaks out into this magnificent affirmation of who God is and what has happened to her and what's going to happen in the future. And listen to the words of this. She'll come up somewhere. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. She bursts out. This is not something she rehearsed. This is not something she was writing along the way. Just an expression of what was going on in her. When she realized, and Elizabeth realized, we're part of the story of God. I who couldn't have kids too old, you who shouldn't have kids because you're a virgin, are coming in to the most unlikeliest people to be brought into the story. Now they meet together and the baby jumps and they're filled with the Spirit and Mary just belts out with this. I wish I could sing it. I couldn't. I don't even know the words. I'm going to have to read it. My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for the next 3 months and then returned home. It's amazing that out of Mary, she starts singing to our heart's content about what God has done and what God is doing, going to do in the future. It was like she was taking her life and proclaiming to the generations. She uses the word generations. This is like a prophetic word coming out of her, a word from God coming out of her, out of what she had experienced in God. And she was saying that this is not just about me, because the story of God is never just about you or me. If it's God, it's going to include somebody else, because he's just that way. He's inclusive. He is community loving. He's the one who brings everybody in to the center. He doesn't want anybody on the outside. People are on the outside by choice, not out of position from God. If I choose to stay on the outer circles, I can slag and say, that's all the clique in there. God wants you to be invited into the clique. He wants you to be bang in the center. He wants you to be part of his story being unfolded to the city. And the only person that puts them outside of the circle is me, myself. Because I'm not choosing to step in. Because God hasn't excluded. He includes everybody. But Mary starts singing over the generations. She starts singing that the generations will be blessed because of this day, because of me saying yes to God. Bless God, my Savior, meaning she needed a Savior like everyone else. She recognized, I need a Savior. Mary, did you know that the baby you're going to deliver will one day deliver you from sin and deliver the world from sin? She starts singing down through the generations. She starts singing down that the mighty one has done great things. His mercy will extend from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm from generation to generation. Because God doesn't only think one generation. God thinks multi-generations. And we have to be the same. I told some of the story. Forgive me if you hear it again. But I've told this 6 times in the last week. And it gets greater every time I say it. But there's a man called D.L. Moody, the preacher of yesteryear. And Moody was one of those great preachers. You know what happened to him? A man walked into a shoe shop where he lived that was carrying the kingdom of God with him. And one day he told D.L. Moody, a young boy, that God loves him. Another day he went in. I don't know what many pairs of shoes this fellow was buying. I think he was related to, Imelda Marcos. He goes in, he says to D.L. Moody, a young boy, he says, today is the day of salvation for you. And Moody surrenders his life to the Lord, a young man. And Moody ends up in ministry. D.L. Moody is famous in Christian history. And Moody, his first role of ministry was he bought a donkey. And he used to go through the streets. And he loved street people. He loved the disenfranchised. He loved the ones that no one else wanted. The people that other churches didn't want, he went after. If you go after the ones that nobody wants, God will give you the ones everybody wants. And the churches were snobbery. In fact, they didn't even want these kids in the church. He'd walk up the street. He'd say, free rides on the donkey. And for all these little street urchins, he was living in the time like Oliver Twist. You know that movie, Oliver Twist? And Artful Dodger and Little Oliver and all those people. They were the kids that he used to reach out to, street urchins. And he'd walk through the streets, free rides on the donkey, and all the little street urchins would come out from the shadows. And he'd follow him 30, 40 at a time. He'd walk all the way up to the church, and he'd tie the donkey around the pole. And he'd say, after church, we're having free rides on the donkey. And he'd go in, and he'd all sit down the back row. And the church didn't want him there. In fact, he ended up having to rent out the pews to put these kids in. Because who wants smelly kids? Who wants kids that don't know the rules to play boy in church? Who wants those who have no mams and dads? Who wants the widows? Who wants the orphans? We don't. So they hired out the back rows to them. And D.L. Moody, his whole thing was, I want to commend exactly what Mary was doing. Psalm 145, I think it's verse 3, we are told to commend the works of God from one generation to the next generation. Now, we should be telling our kids the work of God. We should be telling them what God is doing in their midst. We should be telling them about how to be a giver, how to be a contributor, how to be someone who lays down their life for God. In their understanding, we should be that. Because who's going to tell them? If we don't tell the truth, someone's going to tell them a lie. And we're not going to tell them how to live. Someone will tell them how to live. And his whole thing, just pictures of Moody with little street kids in his arms, standing on the corners. His street kid in one arm, and he's preaching the word of God. And he's commending the work of God to this generation. He's speaking it into his life. He's speaking into the hearer's life. This is what God has done. This is his mighty acts. This is how he reaches people. This is what he does. If you're sick, come and heal you. If you're not filled and empty, come and he fill you. And he'd command. This is what to look for. This is how to proclaim. And Mary is doing the exact same because there's something about Mary. There's something in Mary that she's trying to get out to the generations. See, we don't just speak empty out words. Life and death is in words. We speak words and under the inspiration of God that is powerful, not just to you, but to the seed that's in you. I don't just preach to you. I preach to what's in you and what God has placed in you. I preach to the heavenly places, trying to declare and declare in the authority of God what the future will look like. I've said it over and over again. God wants to reach a city. I don't just say that because I'm trying to wreck your head. I'm declaring what God has said because nothing comes to pass unless it's declared first. Nothing. That's why confession is so important. Some people think they're stupid saying, I'm going to be great in God. Listen, if washing feet is what I've been asked to do, and I do it, I'm great in God. This is not what great is. I could spend the rest of my life in the two kids' breakfast clubs that we do most days of the week. I could do that forever. It's not this. It's doing just exactly what God's asked you to do. That's it. That's being great in the kingdom. And Moody would stand preaching with the kids in his arms. Renting out the pews, why? Because he was doing what Mary was doing, commending the works of God to the next generations. There was a man with D.L. Moody called Iris Sankey. And Sankey and Moody became famous in the Christian world. They built these portable churches in London and in America and Chicago. And say they were doing it in Dublin, they'd preach in one tabernacle that they'd set up for a couple of thousand people. While they're preaching there, another like church, pop-up church was being done out on the north side, and he'd preach there for a couple of weeks. Well, that one's being built, finished there, that gets taken down, and then he'd go over there and preach for weeks, and thousands would come to know Jesus. And then they'd set that one up in another place so that when he's finished here, it's already there. And people would come because they came so famous, and the move of God was so rich amongst them that people didn't want to go to their own churches. They wanted to go to hear D.L. Moody and Sankey. They wanted to go. Sankey was his piano player, and they wanted to go and sing. And here's what D.L. Moody says: I want none of us to come to these tabernacles on a Sunday morning. Go to your own church. He said, this is not for you on a Sunday morning. And he'd go out to the streets and call all the street urchins. He says, Sunday is for them. He never forgot the next generation. No matter how famous they became, no matter how many people wanted to buy their CDs if they had them, no matter how many people wanted to hear that, he didn't care. He goes, no, Sunday is for them. Because I'm going to commend the works of God to the next generation. I'm going to tell them how great he is so they can believe how great he is. I'm going to tell them how he changes life so they will know change in their life. I'm going to tell them about the plans of God in the past and the plans of God now so they'll be able to live in the plans of God in the future. She said, I want you church people. I want them to know. I want the next generation to know. And in the meeting, Sankey would sit there. As D.L. Moody was preaching, Sankey would sit there. I love this. Get this and I tell you, boom, we win the city. While he was preaching the gospel, Sankey be over in the corner writing. Like, religious people used to take offense at him because he thought he was ignoring the word of God. The ministers that was on the stage would look down and go, Sankey doesn't even look interested. So at the end of every sermon, D.L. Moody would say, Sankey, come up and play. And he'd come up with his piece of paper. He was after writing a song while he was waiting on D.L. Moody to finish. He'd write the song of God as the gospel was being preached. God was downloading into his heart what to commend over this generation. And Sankey would get up. He wrote 1,200 songs over under 1,200 sermons of D.L. Moody. Not incredible. That's where they got the term gospel music from. Because there was no name for gospel music before that. And they named it gospel music because when the gospel was being preached, he was writing his music. And that's where we get the term, and other people have followed on with that. And Sankey is up there, and he'd preach, and he'd sing the work of God over the people, commending the work of God. Like Mary. So if there's something about Mary, there has to be something about Phyllis, and there has to be something about Trish, and there has to be something about Eddie, and there has to be something about Noah, because there's something in us that is bigger than us. And if we proclaim it, and sing it out, and share it out, and talk it out, and it says in 145, it says, shout! The works of God to the next generation. Why? Because we're building their platform. We're building something for them that they can do absolutely something incredible in God. We mightn't see the city reached. We could all die tomorrow. But the promises of God goes beyond the person to the generations. See, we're blessed. Mary was 2,000 years ago. But the words and promises of God go on and on. And if we don't see it, we're aiming for it. Our kids will see it. And they'll aim for it. And if they don't see it, their kids will see it. And hopefully we'll all see it together. And Sankey and D.L. Moody was in London. And the pastor that he was preaching for says, D.L. Moody says, he wanted to show him around London. D.L. Moody says, I want to go to Epping Forest. Those gypsies, Romani gypsies live there. And he says, I want to go out. I want to minister to the gypsies. Gypsies have been marginalized for centuries. They've been treated brutally by this world. I'm not always saying we help ourselves when we're in them situations. But D.L. Moody never forgot. Never forgot the marginalized. He never forgot to go and commend the works of God to the next generation. And him and Sankey and the minister goes out. And these two little nippers, two little Romani gypsy boys run along the carriage. And D.L. Moody says, stop. And they stop, and the two little boys stand at the carriage. And Sankey, who was under D.L. Moody and knew D.L. Moody's heart for the next generations, he looked at one of the boys and put his hand on his head. And he starts prophesying, you're going to speak the word of God to the nations. You're going to be a preacher to the nations. He starts just speaking over his life. D.L. Moody and Sankey were huge in America. Within the next 10, 15 years, a preacher came out of England. Now, they reckon he led 1.5 million people to Jesus, this preacher. And he's over in America, and Moody asked him, would he preach at his crusade? And he goes to speak to them, and he goes up to Sankey, and he says to Sankey, do you remember Epping Forest? Do you remember the little boy that you prophesied to speak to the nations? He says, I'm the boy. Gypsy Smith was his name. One of the greatest preachers that has ever come out of Great Britain. Led 1.5 million people to Jesus. Why? Because someone commended the works of God over his life and through his life. Isn't that incredible? So here's the beauty. You don't know what's in the person sitting beside you. See, I could lead one person to the Lord and that's what's in me. But you could be the person that leads 1.5 million people to the Lord. Are you with me? I might have one in me, but you might have 1.5 million in you. Are you getting me? You don't know. That's why we have to treat each other with honor. That's why we should never talk about each other. That's why we should never gossip, because we don't know what's in that person. We should always speak well, always spur one another on. Keep going for the plans of God. Don't be afraid. No matter what's going on in your world, if God's called you and you walk closely with him, you will see it fulfilled in Jesus' name. You will see it fulfilled. Why? Because when you're in Jesus, you're highly favored. Now let's stand. And I don't know about you, but that's good preaching. Let's close our eyes. I hope you know the person beside you, right? But just look at them and say there's something, and say their name. There's something about you, Mary, if that's Mary. But look to the person. Just speak it with so intent. Look at me back for a minute. Look at me back for a minute. Yeah, I don't want it to be a laughing thing. You know the way we get all really nervous when I get you to say this stuff. Yeah, listen to me for a minute. Listen to me. Yeah. Don't say that. Yeah, come back. That's it. You know the way we get all nervous. I went up. I want to say and commend you for giving your medals away. I know one of the girls on Teen Challenge gave it to a McDonald's worker or a Burger King worker. Who was that? Sharon, well done. Well done. She went and gave it to someone else who served. If you still have your medal, give it away. Someone went up to the hospital. Sharon's sister, who was here, hadn't been here in forever. She got a medal, went up and put it on her dad around in hospital. I went up to a man in the flats. I told you, his wife was not dying of cancer. He's got cancer recently. We always meet him over in the hospital. I just said, Jimmy, thanks for serving Mary. He got all. He didn't know what to do because he's a real joker. Because sometimes we don't know how to accept it. So I don't want us to do that this morning, right? I want you to look intently at that person. No matter where they're at, no matter where they've been, and just start speaking to them. There's something about you. Because there is. And if you don't know the name, find the name before you say it. We nearly use it as a word. Use it as a prophecy. Use it as a word of knowledge. There's something about you. And I pray that God shows you what's about you. No matter where your life is at now, no matter how you feel right now, there's something about you. Whether you're on your way to Egypt or on your way back from Egypt, there's something about you. Whether you're popular or whether you're being nailed to a cross, there's something about you. Whether it's people have laid you out for dead or you've laid yourself out for dead, there's something about you. Because death is not the end for Christians. This is no fairy tale, but we do live happily ever after. The prince will come back on his white horse and will take the bride to be with him forever and ever. And we live forever and ever. And that ain't no fairy tale. So no matter where you're at now, no matter what's going on in your world right now, there's something about you. Because God has placed in you his very DNA. He has to, Ephesians 2:10 says he has works for you to do. Prepared in advance, even before the foundations of the world. There was an advent leading to your birth. There was an advent leading to your rebirth in him. There's an advent waiting for it to happen, and it's called your name. So turn to the person. What we're doing is praying for each other. No laughing, no giggling. You know, get that nervousness out. Just start praying with the person. Just start praying. There's something about you. Don't leave one person. Church should be the place where no one's lonely. Start praying. There's something about you. There's something about your life. Just based on what Noel says, based on what the scripture says, there's something about your life. And I just want to pray for you. I just want to say, I bless the something about your life that's in God. I want to bless the plans of God for your life. I want to bless the purposes of God in your life. I want to speak health and wholeness and prosperity into your life. Why? Because there's something about you. I want to be part of your life. I want to contribute to your life. I want to spur you on. Why? Because there's something about you. It doesn't matter what your start was. It doesn't matter what your middle of your life was. It doesn't matter where you're at now. There's something about you. And I call out that something of God out into the front, out into the fore, so that you're living out of the place of being highly favored. Highly favored of God. I speak favor over you and in you and to move out through you. We bless you, Lord. And we pray for the next generations, oh God. Father, we just start speaking right now the works of God. That you who saved us and deliver us, Lord, is the same God that will deliver generations, oh God. Father, those of us who have seen mighty miracles, oh God, that they will see more than we could ever imagine or think, oh God. Father, we speak to the next generation. You will see the city won. You will see the walls of the city with people on them singing songs to God in every borough, in every town, in every village, in every street, in Jesus' name. We say to our kids, you will be great in the nation. We speak over the next generation and we say, you will be great in this nation in Jesus' name. We say, Father, let them have dreams and visions of what you have for them, Lord God. Father, let them see the path that you have for them, Lord. Let them know the plans and the purposes, Lord. Father God, let them know details of where you want them to be, Lord, and what you want them to do, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're going to have the worship team back. Let's end this with a song, yeah? Let's sing a song like Mary sang our song, yeah?